Now, fourth commandment. I got through that pretty quick, didn't I? Without getting bogged down. I'm proud of me. Thank you, Bob. Commandment number four. The fourth commandment in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 10, it said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Years ago, somebody told me, they said, they used to have the Holy Sabbath. Then we had Sunday, and now we have Fun Day. Used to, the Sabbath was a serious day. It was not a day for going to the river and doing all kind of fun things. It was a day set aside where an entire family worshiped and reverenced Almighty God. Then we kind of got away from the concept of Sabbath and went to the Lord's Day or Sunday, which has never been as holy or as reverently kept as the Sabbath was. But in the last 50 years, we don't even have the Lord's Day. What we have is a fun day. Sunday has become a family day, a fun time, a get-together time, a family dinner, and that kind of stuff. And I'm not against family dinners, and God knows I'm not against family. But I'm against anything that takes away from God or His church. Amen? Now, that thing said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it, that is the day, holy. Now, I got to be honest about this whole thing. Sabbath didn't have anything to do with you. I wish it did, because I could really beat that point home, you know. But it doesn't. But it kind of does. And so let me show you what the Bible teaches about that thing. Now, the truth is that in Exodus chapter 20, when we get to the Sabbath, nobody in the Bible has ever kept the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a brand new concept. So now how do you know that? Because in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 14, God said that He came down on Mount Sinai and made known unto them His holy Sabbaths. Nobody knew anything about it until Exodus 20. All that stuff you hear from the Seventh-day Atheists and all that bunch about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all kept the Sabbath, and Adam and Noah and all them kept the Sabbath, that's just nonsense. They didn't keep the Sabbath. They didn't know anything about it. Nobody knew anything about it until Mount Sinai, when Moses gets the commandments on the mountain. Okay? Now, when Moses gets the commandment, it's only for a certain group of people. Nobody was ever commanded to keep the Sabbath but the Jew. No Gentile, no heathen, no pagan, no rascal was ever told to keep it but a Jew. And there's a reason for that. Take your Bible and look at Exodus chapter 31 for a minute. There's nothing like a good Bible to straighten out all the nonsense people believe. Exodus chapter 31, look in verse 12. And Moses, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generation, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death, for whosoever doth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath. You got that? That thing is directed to a unique group of people. That commandment is not directed to the whole wide world. it's directed to the nation of Israel only. Wherefore, verse 16, wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generation for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Now, who's supposed to keep the Sabbath? The nation of Israel. Why are they to keep it? Because it's a covenant, it's a sign between that nation and God. And they're supposed to observe that day forever throughout all their generations. The nation of Israel never gets away from the Sabbath. But it was never given to anybody else. And as far as you can find from history, they're the only one that ever kept it. Until you get into the church age and you got a bunch of folks who won't read their Bible and who won't believe what they read when they read their Bible, and they're trying to make you as a Christian who are not a Jew keep the Sabbath. You don't have to keep the Sabbath. You're not supposed to keep the Sabbath. And if you're keeping the Sabbath, you put yourself back under the Mosaic law and you're not under grace. That's what Galatians is all about. You're not under the law. You're under what? Grace. So Israel's supposed to keep this thing. It's a sign between them and God. Matter of fact, you look back in the Old Testament, you find that Adam got a lamb skin as a token from God. Noah got a rainbow, was his token from God. Abraham got circumcision, was his token from God. And Israel got the Sabbath. Now, if you're going to take the Sabbath for yourself, you know what else you got to do? You got to go back and get the covenant with circumcision. If you take the circumcision... The Sabbath day is the seventh day. You just read that in Exodus chapter 31. Twice it told you in that passage we just read that the Sabbath is the seventh day of rest. For in 6 days God made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested. The Sabbath is the last day of the week. It's Saturday. Now, what day of the week is the first day? Sunday. We do not assemble, we do not worship, we do not keep the Sabbath. We are not Jews, we are not under the law. Therefore, we have a brand new day. It's the first day of the week. Now, the Seventh-day Adventists and all say, well, they tell us we're the Antichrist because we try to change times and seasons and days. And the days they're talking about is they say, we've changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. Nonsense. Sunday's not the Sabbath. It isn't now, and it never has been. The Sabbath has always been the seventh day of the week, the last day of the week, Saturday. You say, well, then why do we meet on the first day of the week? Because in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1, Jesus Christ was missing from the tomb on the first day of the week. Mary and all the ladies came to the tomb early in the morning, and the stone was rolled away, and Jesus was gone as it began to dawn on the first day of the week, not the Sabbath. So the resurrection, as far as mankind was concerned, took place on the morning of the first day. Now that's a Gentile thing, a Jewish thing. He actually rose from the grave 6 o'clock Saturday evening and he was gone, but that's a doctrinal thing. But as far as our dispensation is concerned, they went there on the morning of the first day and he's gone. That's why they have the sunrise services and all that, because early in the morning he ain't there. Amen. John chapter 20 and verse 19, you find that the disciples meet to worship and fellowship on the first day of the week. In John chapter 20, verse 7, which is about 2.5 or 3 years later, you find that the disciples are meeting on the first day of the week to break bread. They're having communion, Lord's Supper. That's Acts chapter 20, verse 7. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, you're commanded to lay aside your tithes and offerings and gifts on what day? 1 Corinthians. On the first day of the week. As far as anybody can tell from church history, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has always observed Sunday, the first day of the week, as our day of worship. We have never kept the Sabbath. We've never taught that anybody should keep the Sabbath unless you're a Jew. Amen? And if you're a saved Jew, you still wouldn't keep the Sabbath. There are three groups of people in the Bible, in the New Testament. There is the Jew, the Gentile, and the Church of God. Amen? You have the Jewish nation, you have the Gentile nations, and you have the church, which is composed of saved people from both groups. That's all there is. Now, with the Sabbath, while I've gone to a lot of trouble there to explain to you that it doesn't apply to you, you don't have to keep the Sabbath. Yet, there is principle and precedent for the observing of one day in seven as a day of worship and a day of rest. And while we don't keep the Sabbath, that is, if a person kept the Jewish Sabbath, they couldn't build a fire to cook bread. You couldn't walk more than what was called a Sabbath day's journey from your house, which was 3,000 feet. That's just about a half a mile, maybe a little over. 5,280 feet a mile. So about a half a mile. That was as far as you could walk. On the Sabbath day, you couldn't pick up sticks. You couldn't build a fire. You couldn't cook food. You couldn't do anything on the Sabbath day. We've never had to observe that. Now, as Christians, we keep Sunday, the first day of the week, as our day to worship God. But we have in the Bible, I said precedent and principle, to establish that God wants one day out of the week set aside for Him. He set one day aside for the nation of Israel. And from the New Testament, you learn that New Testament disciples had set aside one day out of the week, Sunday, to worship God and to meet together. And Christians worldwide meet on the same day. They always have. You can pick up any New Testament history that you want to. I don't Philip Shaw for anybody. And you'll find that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has always assembled on Sunday, and that it has always been our designated day of worship. And he said, well, what are you supposed to do on Sunday? You're supposed to set it aside for God. We are not to set it aside for family. It isn't a family time. It is a God time. Sunday is the day you're supposed to give the whole day to God. You say, well, we only go to church in the morning, we only go to church in the evening. Yes, but the rest of the day ought to be spent as much as possible meditating on spiritual things, reading, praying, fasting, talking with people about the things of God. It ought to be a day set aside for religion. It ought to be a day set aside for worship. People are going to say, well, preacher, what if you have to work? What if you have to work? You have to work. Jesus said, they were getting all over him because he was healing people on the Sabbath day. And he said, it's not lawful for thee to heal on the Sabbath day. And Jesus said, and which of you having an ox that falls in a ditch won't get him out on the Sabbath day? Now, what does that mean? That means those things that are necessary and required, you have to do them. If it's at all possible for you not to work on Sunday, don't work on Sunday. Give that whole day to God. This is personal belief now, okay? I don't believe you ought to ever volunteer to work on Sunday. Matter of fact, I believe you ought to do everything you can to swap out on Sunday. That's God's day.
and you ought to do your dead level best to give him the whole thing. Now, if you can't, well, you can't. But you ought to do your best to. Amen. But we got folks who will deliberately and with malice aforethought find a way to work on Sunday because they can make a couple of extra dollars. Well, you'd have been a whole lot better off to stay close to God. So I say amen. Again. I like it. Now, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2, we have the principle established of one day in seven. For in 6 days, God finished all of his work that he had created, and on the seventh day, he rested. So the seventh day was set aside by whom? God. The principle of one in seven is established by God. It is reaffirmed in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 10, which is our commandment for the evening. Now, we have precedent. Genesis 2:2. Who dedicated the day? God did. That's not Preacher Hensley's commandment. You say, well, Preacher, you just want Sunday to be a special day, so we'll come to church twice a day. Well, of course I want you to come to church twice a day. I prepare two sermons. And you need both of them. But the real reason I want you to come is because it's God's day. You owe it to him. He's entitled. You're obligated. For crying out loud, for all that God has done, one day out of the week ain't much. 10% out of your money ain't much. If you think it's too much to give God 10% of your money and too much to give God one day out of the week, you let me know and I'll pray for God to fix it so that you become thrilled to death to make it to the house of God twice on Sunday. And you'll be thrilled to death that you got 10% to give. Let me show you how serious God is about this principle of 1 and 7. Take your Bible and look at Numbers chapter 15. Numbers chapter 15, go in verse 32. While the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks on the Sabbath day. And they brought him, and they that found him gathering sticks, brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation. And they put him in ward because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones. And he died as the Lord commanded Moses. There's two commandments tonight. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And when a man cursed and blasphemed God, they killed him. And he said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And when a man desecrated the day, they killed him. Now, if we still did that, most of America would be dead tonight. Because a large part of them has taken God's name in vain today, and they legitimately should be dead for it. And a large part of our population has desecrated the Sabbath or Sunday, the one in seven, and they've not worshiped God, and they've not reverenced God, and they've blasphemed him on his day. And the penalty for that is to die. Now, you may think that's harsh, but that's because you don't see things like God sees them. God is a loving God and a just God and a righteous God. And those commandments are right and just and holy. What we need to do is pray that we learn to see things like God sees them and attach the same importance to them that God attaches to them. But until we do, let's obey them even if we don't understand them. Somebody say amen. That's got to be all because I can't see anymore. Anybody got any questions about commandment number three or commandment number four? I've always been one of the best Bible teachers. People have never asked me questions. I always explain it so thoroughly, everybody understands everything about it. That is incredible, isn't it? All right, nobody's got any questions on the third or the fourth commandment. All right, let's bow our head. We'll be dismissed. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. We thank you for this book. I pray that you would help this book to sink down in our hearts. I pray you would help us open our heart to receive this book. Not only to know it, but to practice it. Give us real wisdom and understanding. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.